Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX and the free Odyssey app.
Cook will scramble. A little mini hurdle. Stayed up inside the 10. Cook! Elway style into the end zone. 31 yards.
Let the young man cook.
The highlight courtesy of ESPN. Our next guest is preparing for the NFL draft, which is coming up. Also preparing for the first pitch tonight at the Cardinals game as they host the Phillies at Busch Stadium. And we, of course, will have the broadcast here starting at 6:20. The game is at 7:15 on KMOX. It is time to go to the guest line this morning, and we bring in that quarterback, Mizzou quarterback Brady Cook, is with us on KMOX. Brady, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today.
Oh, we're excited to have you on, and we're excited for you. We'll talk about the first pitch coming up here in a minute, but because it's a cool honor to get to do that. And now you're preparing for a professional football career. And with the draft happening, at least it starts on the 24th, so we're a couple of weeks away from that. What do you do to get ready while you're waiting to see what happens with your future?
Yeah, I mean, the last 4 months, you know, there's been a lot of things, a lot of different processes that you go through to get to this point. You know, for me, it kind of started with the Hula Bowl, which is an all-star game. Then the Shrine Bowl, another all-star game. Then you go down to the Combine in Indy, and then you compete there. And then you have your pro day back at school. And, you know, now from pro day up until this point, up until the draft, you know, there's a lot of meetings with teams. You're staying in shape. You're starting to get familiar with NFL terminology, NFL playbooks. And at the end of the day, at this point, you know, you've kind of done everything you can do. So all there really is to do is wait and see where you end up and really just get ready to go.
Is the process what you expected? Obviously, you've been under a lot of pressure before, you know, quarterbacking an SEC team. But just this process, moving to that next stage with the NFL, what you expected or overwhelming?
Yeah, you know, here's what I'd say about that is, you know, having Cody Schrader as a mentor and a guide, you know, him being 1 year ahead of me, you know, as my best friend, you know, I've kind of been able to see how he navigated it, how his pre-draft process went, how the actual draft went for him. And he's been a big mentor to me. You know, the last 4 months, he's walked me through every step of the way, how it went for him, what he would have done differently. And that's helped me a ton. And then just the other people around me on my team, you know, my agent, trainer, quarterback coach, they've all helped me. And I feel like it's been a smooth process, but also one where, you know, I've really left all the chips on the table, you know, going down to the combine and doing what I did and having the pro day here, I feel like I've exhausted, you know, every part of this process. So I do feel confident.
Yeah, and so you don't really know where you might go in the draft, and there's always the possibility you become an undrafted free agent and end up signing with the team. That sort of uncertainty, does it I mean, how does that affect you? Are you just sort of looking at it like, hey, whatever happens, happens? Or do you have a different philosophy on it?
Yeah, you know, my mindset is kind of, you know, there's a chance I get drafted. There's a chance I don't get drafted. But I do know 100% that I'm going to get an opportunity to put on my cleats and go have an opportunity to play for an NFL team. And at the end of the day, all that matters is that you're on that roster when they announce it at the end of August. So there's a long way until then, but I'm confident if I can get my foot in the door, get on a team and just be able to do what I do at the end of August, you know, I'm going to have a place to play.
I don't think you did mention him, but if you did and I missed it, I apologize. But Drew Locke, what was it now, 6 years ago, got drafted by the Broncos in the second round, and he played at Mizzou. Yeah. Do you ever have much interaction with him at all?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, throughout my career, me and Drew, we didn't talk a lot. We didn't get to spend a ton of time together. You know, me being so busy at Mizzou, Drew obviously building his career in the NFL away from home quite a bit. And then just this past offseason, you know, I trained in Kansas City. We actually share the same quarterback coach, and we got to link up for quite a few throwing sessions, spend quite a bit of time together. And it was cool, you know, hearing his perspective of the NFL, how his career's gone, his advice for me both at the combine, during our pro day, and then just obviously watching him throw. I think he's one of the purest passers in the NFL. I really do. He can spin that thing, and it was really cool spending time with him.
Well, what sort of advice did he give you on the combine and that sort of thing?
Yeah. You know, a lot of that had to do with, you know, number one, just how the combine went. You know, you're there for a full week. There's days where you're in the hospital for, you know, 12, 14 hours getting your whole body checked out. Mm-hmm. So walking you through that. And then obviously the interview process, you know, that's a big part of the combine. And, you know, we would ask him questions about how he would answer certain things. And he definitely offered, you know, quite a bit of value for me.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what kind of questions do they ask you in an interview process like that?
Yeah, you know, it can range. There can be some silly ones, but a lot of them are about your background, about your character. You'll get football questions about specifics. They'll ask you questions about specific games and what you saw and why you did what you did and what you remember about preparing that week. You know, they'll ask you questions about your expectations for your first year in the NFL, which a lot of guys find is a tricky one. You know, do you say you want to go win a Super Bowl, or do you tame it down a little bit and maybe, you know, remain a little bit more humble? So there's just different ways to answer these questions. There's different things you get asked. So hearing somebody like Drew, who's been through it, you know, 6, 7 years ago and obviously got drafted, you know, and has been through it. So it's pretty cool.
Talking with former Mizzou quarterback Brady Cook, joining us here on KMOX. Is that weird to hear that you're now, that you're a former Mizzou quarterback? Because it's been such a big part of your life for 4 years now.
It was. Yeah, it's weird. You know, I think the first time I heard it was like in February. And I was like, man, that kind of stings a little bit. You know, it's a big part. But at the end of the day, I think it's good timing. You know, I spent, you know, 4 or 5 years here, made a lot of memories, won a lot of ball games, and, you know, I look back and I'm pretty happy on what I was able to do here.
I know you're still waiting, you know, for the draft. You never know how that goes, how that plays out, but you're always preparing for the next step. What does that preparation look like moving from college football, which of course extremely high level, to the NFL, which is pretty much insane? Like the pace,
yeah,
of the
right.
game. I mean, that as great as college football is, the NFL is pure insanity.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, hearing from other guys who have gone through the transition, I think, like you said, that one of the biggest things is just the speed of the game. And I think that's a natural transition. You know, everybody's going to go through it. I'm going to go through it this year. And you just have to adjust. I think your processes will naturally adjust. Now you're a true professional. You know, this is your job. This is what you do every single day, all day. And I think you just naturally adjust. And it's going to be a transition. I'm sure there's going to be challenges that come with it. But, you know, that's a part of the game. And, you know, I'm looking forward to giving it a shot.
Okay, so what are you or were you more nervous about, getting engaged or the first pitch tonight?
Oh, man, getting engaged. Getting engaged. You know, here's what I'll say. I wasn't nervous until, you know, we got to our spot that I had picked out, and it was time, and man, it was hard to get words out. You know, we were in Central Park, and, you know, I kind of just went silent, you know, and, you know, eventually I was like, hey, I got to say something. So I got down on a knee. I said, hey, I got one more surprise for you, and asked her, and luckily she said yes. But tonight, yeah, throwing the first pitch out, shoot, you know, I think my chest will definitely be pumping a little bit when I get out on that mound. We'll see, though. I feel pretty good about it.
Well, sound like you don't know how to throw.
right.
But it's
I know how to throw. It's just different ball. I don't know.
Okay, so what they tell most people, like the average person, is to aim high because you'll probably spike it because you're on the mound. But I think if you aim high, it'll be in the stands. So I'm not sure what to tell you to do.
I know. I got a couple practice reps in 2 days ago.
All right.
And low left is a common miss, it seems like. So I do think I'm going to aim high right. I'm going to go four-seam fastball. I'm hoping it crosses the plate just perfect. So we'll see.
What did you play a lot of baseball growing up?
I played up until eighth grade. I was a pitcher, shortstop. So I'm familiar. I can get up there and, you know, do the wind up and we'll see what happens.
Was it travel ball or was it CYC?
Yeah, travel ball.
Okay.
Played some high level middle school baseball.
Nice.
You know, traveled around a little bit. You know, played pitcher, shortstop, hit first or fourth, and you know, we were rolling around there.
See, I think that should be higher up on your resume is high level middle school baseball. That's a winner.
Yeah,
I like that.
I agree.
You know, we how long ago was it? Oh, it was whenever the both the Tkachuks and Jason Tatum were in their respective finals. What is it with Chaminade producing all of these athletes, professional athletes?
Chaminade College Prep, man, Estevir. It's an awesome, awesome place. I give them a lot of credit for teaching me so much academically and athletically.
Well, all right. Well,
they're doing something right over there. Something in the water.
They are.
No kidding, man. Well, Brady Cook, congratulations on a terrific career at Mizzou. I know you got a lot of fans listening to you and looking forward to what happens in a couple of weeks in the draft. We are looking forward to it, too. Hopefully a team does pick you up, you know, second day, third day, whatever it is. Hopefully you do. Because we know you're going to end up somewhere. It's just a matter of when it happens. So best of luck to you, Brady, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate the time.
That is Brady Cook, former Mizzou quarterback, who will be throwing out the first pitch tonight as the Cardinals will take on the Phillies at Busch Stadium. And also waiting for the draft. That's the first day is the 24th. That'll just be the first round, and then that'll happen through the weekend.
There's a lot going on.
I know.
You get engaged. You're waiting for the draft. You're going to throw the first pitch.
Yeah, man. That's fun. It's a huge honor to be asked to throw out the first pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, not like... when you're somebody like him, not when you're us. Like, they had to pick somebody to throw out first pitch last year.
Yeah, they had to pick us, yeah.
But like
not
for
that
him,
they had to pick us. I think we were there. We were available.
Yeah. Somebody from the station had to do it, and they said, all right, you two clowns. At any rate, again, tonight, 7:15 is the ball game. Phillies are in town. That team is good. So have fun tonight, everybody. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji. On KMOX.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Amy, earlier we were discussing people who just don't
care.
They don't care. They don't care about anybody being in line behind them. They just sort of do whatever they want to do, and they don't, you know, they have no concept of others.
Yeah.
It's only about them.
Which happened to me, actually, in the Target parking lot, in the driving part of the parking lot, the main thoroughfare. I guess someone was checking their phone or waiting for someone, and they just stopped. They just stopped.
Yeah,
and
yeah, well,
we were all stuck behind
that's
them.
That's why people get so angry and want to do violence.
Yeah.
And that's why road rage exists. Because the question is, why do people get so mad on the road? And I'll tell you why. It's because there are some drivers mm-hmm. who, for whatever reason, when they are inside that vehicle, when they drive, they are even less aware of everything going on around them. The only thing that matters is what's directly in front of them. They do not look to the sides. They don't care about how many people they're backing up behind them. I don't know what it is about being in a vehicle that makes you have tunnel vision, mm-hmm. but it happens. And I don't, you got to stop if you're one of these people.
Or it's road rage or amoxicillin rage, which is what Ronj currently has.
I have amoxicillin rage.
If you're noticing, man, he's a little fired up today, he's got amoxicillin rage.
I asked the question. And I asked you to please respond via Twitter or with a voice message on the Odyssey app. If you're one of these people, explain to me what your psychology is and why you're like this. Why do you care about nothing behind you?
I don't think they know.
So that's the key. Not one person has texted in. Not one person has sent us a voice message like that. And it's because they don't know they're like that.
They don't know they're like that.
And I've always said this. If everybody had two qualities, we'd be in such a better position as a society, and that's empathy and awareness. And if you have some damn awareness, we'd all be better off. Here's a texter who I think is talking about what we're talking about,
yeah.
but is wondering, what about people who bring their dogs into the grocery store? I don't know that that's the same thing of lack of courtesy.
I think I've never seen that except for maybe a
service dog.
Now, people, you can take your dog to Home Depot, and I love that. Dogs love Home Depot, and there's so much room to walk them around. One lady said she brings her dog to Home Depot for walks when it's bad weather, and I love that. And I always see dogs at Home Depot, and they love it. They love it. I am pro dogs at Home Depot.
What if they go pee-pee?
Well, they bring dogs that don't go pee-pee, Ronj.
You don't know that. We also are going to unveil our tournament field on Monday yeah. of the Tournament of Negligence.
We've got some good submissions.
We have some good submissions. Okay. We also have one person who, I don't know how to shorten this one, but they say, and this is from a 314,
okay.
I hate to admit this, but I dropped my child off at kindergarten one morning. Many years ago before cell phones, I then went to the gym, ran errands, and got home several hours later. Arriving home, I saw multiple messages on my answering machine. After checking one and hearing the principal on the phone saying there was no school that day.
Oh, no!
I rushed back to the school. My son ended up sitting in the principal's office all morning.
Oh.
To this day, I still feel bad about it. He's 34 now, and I don't think it affected him. I think he's well-adjusted. You imagine dropping your kid off, not even recognizing there are no other, nobody else here.
I have done drop-off before, and it is crowded.
There he was. Apparently, he was there alone all day with a corpse. Now, he was okay, you know, after 6-7 weeks.
He started talking again.
Poor guy. I bet that kid, he's not a kid, he's 34. I bet he has a fear of abandonment right now.
Maybe.
That his dad doesn't know about.
If he's listening, give us a call. He's 34.
Kids are resilient like that.
Yeah. There's a texter who says a negligent thing is not running out a grounder.
Wait, not?
Like a ground ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not running out of, but I thought you had, if you're a superstar, I thought you have to protect yourself sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Like if you're, when you were Yadier Molina catching like a million innings a year,
yeah,
you don't need to bust it down to first. Or if you're Albert, you got that foot that was always a problem. You don't bust it down to first.
It sound like he's got like this dangling foot. You got that foot.
Well, yeah, he always had like the plantar fasciitis or yeah. whatever. So you can't like you know, you're not expecting him to run 100 miles an hour down to first.
This one scares me. Is this on the list? Leaving a candle lit. That's a bad, bad, bad one. Because if a candle burns down to, like if you have a glass candle and it burns the wick down to the glass, it does not go out right away. The glass can be so become so hot that it shatters, leaving an open flame to drop on a towel, a paper, catch things on fire. Especially if you have it on a desk. That flame doesn't go out. The glass will shatter and you can cause a fire.
I didn't know about the shattering.
Conflagration.
Glass. And I did it when I was in college.
Oh.
I let one get down.
Did
it was on the coffee table. Yeah. It shattered when I was right there. I went, whoa, what the hell was that?
I had a glass candle on a glass coffee table, you know, one of those glass top coffee tables.
Yeah.
It burned down. The glass got so hot. It didn't shatter. It cracked a little, but it burned the glass coffee table. There was a black smoky ring on the glass coffee table.
Here's a texter who says, my take on waiting behind people in line, I can't stand it when they take too long. So what I do is I try to rile up the people in front of me. So they all start making comments. Guys, like, get some groundswell of people.
I try to rile up the people in front of me.
You know, just sitting back like, you know, he's been taking a long time up there. Just whispering in the ear in front of the guy in front of you. Like, man.
I love it.
What's his problem, huh?
And then they're like, yeah, hey, buddy. And he's just standing back there like, I didn't say anything.
He just wants everybody else to do his angry work for him.
That is, I love that texter. That texter and the guy who just texted in, Harambe. Like, what he meant was, there's no greater negligence than letting your child fall into the primate pit at the zoo, or John Hancock almost let his kid fall into big cat country. If you let your kid fall over the railing at the zoo, incredibly negligent. But instead of typing all of that, he just wrote Harambe, assuming we'd get it, which you did. Followed up that text with, sorry, I'm at work.
Yes. Yes, I was talking about people dropping their kids in the zoo enclosure. That is so negligent.
The brevity of Harambe is unbelievable.
You got a voice message from Mike who's responding to you saying that nobody texted in explaining the psychology of why they waited so long in line.
You haven't gotten any text messages, voice memos on why people are like that, because no one like that listens to KMOX. We're all the best people in America.
Oh.
Oh, buddy.
That's right. Who was that from?
Mike.
Good job, Mike.
Mike gets it.
It is the voice of St. Louis. I think it used to be the voice of America, didn't it? the voice of America is going away.
We're specializing. I would say yes, because we are the voice of St. Louis, not the voice of selfish people.
That's right. You like Easter egg hunts?
Love them.
Well, Easter egg hunt, a big one tomorrow. Yuppie Puppies is putting it on tomorrow. Yuppie Puppies Forever. It's a rescue organization. And tomorrow, starting at 11 o'clock in O'Fallon, Missouri, and there's one in Cottleville, too. Yeah, cool stuff happening. And we're going to talk to Jessica Cook, the founder of Yuppie Puppies Forever Rescue. Jessica joins us next on KMOX. Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX. Tomorrow, a couple of Easter egg hunts are happening over here in Missouri. There's one in O'Fallon, one in Cottleville. And it's all because of Yuppie Puppies Forever, which is a rescue organization for pets. And this local shelter helps rehome animals when their owner dies. And so puppies are, by the way, invited for this fundraiser that is happening. And to talk about it is the founder of Yuppie Puppies Forever Rescue, Jessica Cook, joins us this morning. How you doing, Jessica?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, well, thank you for being on with us. And tell us about the Easter egg hunts tomorrow.
Yeah, so we have two going on at each location. O'Fallon, Missouri, right off Highway and Winghaven Boulevard at 11 o'clock. That is the first egg hunt. And if you miss the second one, it's at 2 o'clock in Cottleville at the Cottleville location. Both locations have over 500 eggs, 200 tennis balls. We've got raffles, giveaways. It's a lot of fun, and it's $10 and all the eggs and tennis balls you can grab to help support our mission.
Why do dogs love tennis balls so much?
It's always fun to see the ones that show up that are like, they have tennis balls here too, and they go nuts and see how many they can put in. So, of course, with assistance, so bring a bag. We'll have some if you don't have some, but yeah, it's a good time, and our rescues there will be participating, showing off, and then our trainers there too to do any dog-to-dog meet and greets. If you want to see if one of our rescues would be compatible for your home, so we're available after the hunts at each location to do that as well.
Oh, that's awesome, and I love this, the mission of rehoming animals, and because you are rehoming animals after their owner dies, I imagine that, you know, called yuppie puppies, but dogs of all ages,
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Most of them, I shouldn't say most of them. We get a variety, but we try to match what their home life was before just to help make that transition. If grandkids were visiting and they're used to grandkids, if they had cats, other dogs, visitors. So by kind of figuring out what their home life was before and then matching that, it really helps. And a lot of the dogs, their whole life is just turned upside down, and they, you know, they're fantastic dogs. They were so loved. So it's truly an honor to continue that mission to find them that happily ever after once more.
I'm like, oh man, I need a dog. We got my mom a puppy for Christmas a few years ago. We had dogs growing up, and it's so hard, you know, if you lose one dog and then you're like, okay, I need to get another one. And so I've been thinking, okay, maybe I should get a dog. Is an older dog maybe would be better for someone like me if you're like, okay, they're going to be home. They'll be a cuddly dog, won't take as much energy as a puppy would.
Absolutely. They're adults, and they, you know, they're set in their routine. Many of these dogs were used to being home and quiet life, and it's not always the case, but they're, you know, it's not as that puppy stage is truly fun, but we all know how much work that can be. And so a lot of these dogs, they're already done past that. They're, you know, they're usually potty trained, and they've already met all the things out there in the world. And so they're just truly dogs that can go to a variety of great homes, and they're just looking for that next journey.
So there wasn't, is there an organization anywhere else like this in the country that you are aware of? It's the first time I had heard of something like that specifically deals with animals who had owners and the owner passes away.
Not that I'm aware of. I would assume there would be somewhere, but I don't know off any offhand. And that's kind of how we got started is the pet spa side of things. Yuppie Puppy, we're in business 22 years, and we started, over the years, starting 2019 when we became the nonprofit rescue, we were already kind of doing this. The clients maybe were passed away and the kids couldn't keep the dog, and they would approach us where they knew their dog had been groomed and stayed, and we would say, yes, so this one would be perfect for this one. So we were doing that, and the numbers got so many, and then people were contacting us before they had passed away, making arrangements. So then that's when it's really such a need. And now we're up to over 2,500 dogs that we have placed in homes.
Wow, that's incredible. So in addition to the dogs that you're placing in homes, that you have the Yuppie Puppy Spa. So people,
yeah.
So people can just take their own dogs to the spa. Is the point of the spa to help support the charitable side of the Yuppie Puppy?
So the spa was first, and then we just, okay. Yeah, we were doing this so much, and we were helping other rescues too through our training and grooming. And so there was really such a need for us to do this. And now it works hand in hand because any dogs that get adopted through Yuppie Puppies Forever, we give them 50% off services for life as a way to say thank you. And help, you know, if they need any assistance with training or grooming. And so many of our rescues become clients, and we get to watch them grow and help them, assist them through that adoption process. And so it's fantastic.
So again, the both of the Easter egg hunts are tomorrow. There is an 11 o'clock or 11:30 one, but you want to register at 11 o'clock. That's when it starts. That is in O'Fallon, Missouri. and then in Cottleville at 2 o'clock, that one begins. Is it so? It's $10 entry for both, or just for that second one?
For each one.
So okay.
Yep. But I promise you, you'll get your money's worth in the tennis balls and the snacks.
Okay. Okay. Good. All right. So the website is this the best place to go? YuppiePuppySpa.com, and then they can find YP Rescues there. Is that the best way to do it?
Yep, that's the best way to do it. And then we also have our Pet Finder link on there too.
Okay. Jessica,
I'm on that
Cook.
Website now.
Oh, you are?
I have picked out Melvin.
You're taking Melvin home?
I fell in love with Melvin. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. She's so cute.
Melvin's great.
Oh, my gosh.
Also, I don't know if Amy can have a dog because we just talked about how negligent we both are.
No.
We're having full conversations about our negligence. I don't think she can have
that's
one.
That's just an acquired negligence because we haven't had the character building and heart softening process of taking care of a beautiful dog like Melvin.
Yeah.
Well, you know how I think when you have to adopt a child or you're trying to adopt a child, don't they interview people around you to see what kind of person you are?
That is actually...
We do.
So,
we call references.
Yeah, so, so same with a pet. You call me. I will, I'll give you my number if you want to ask questions about Amy.
Oh, my goodness.
If she's worthy of this dog.
So adorable. Thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Jessica Cook, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Jessica is the founder of Yuppie Puppies Forever Rescue. And again, the website, the best one to go to is yuppiepuppyspa.com. Amy, no, you may not have Melvin.
I'm going to show you a picture of Melvin during this commercial break. He's adorable.
You can't have Melvin. You don't deserve Melvin. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Feel free to text us. 314-436-7900 or a voice message on the Odyssey app. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Okay, now Matt and I.
No.
It's going to come to fisticuffs because not only do I love Melvin, but he pointed out Lennon, and Lennon is adorable. Lennon's little face, he almost looks like when they show guinea pigs eating. Like the puffy cheeks,
yeah.
The full cheeks.
It's a Lhasa Apso. Very cute.
Super. Ryder is a golden retriever who looks like such a good boy.
You know what? You guys looking at all these dogs that you think you're going to adopt.
Yeah.
This is the equivalent of people looking at the $10 million homes on Zillow. You're not going to have any of these dogs.
You're not going to have them.
You're not going to have them.
These are way more affordable.
Yes, but... You're not going to be chosen.
Francis is kind of expensive. I think he got new insurance.
Oh, things must be going great for the Marks courses.
Well, what I mean is, one reason why I haven't gotten a dog, one, my schedule was insane and I was never home and I don't want to leave my dog at home. But two, if a dog gets sick, woof. Well, that was an accident. But it could be a $700 bill. My friend paid $1,000 because her dog ate her underpants.
Oh, did I tell you about my friend's cat?
The one that threw up when it got too hungry?
No, that was my ex-girlfriend's dog. He would, if you did not feed him by 10 o'clock in the morning, he would puke. Otis.
I love that.
Otis would throw up.
I love that about Otis because it feels so petty.
Maybe it was like 9 o'clock.
It feels so petty and dramatic that Otis is like...
So dramatic.
You didn't feed me.
I relate to it. I feel that way.
It is one of the best dogs ever, though. Black Lab. Just nicest guy. He was such a nice guy.
Yeah.
And...
Is he still alive?
No.
Oh, that's
No,
sad.
He passed away. No. But Otis, he was not much of a barker.
Yeah.
If somebody would knock on the door, like randomly, he'd be laying, he was always laying down. And when somebody would knock on the door, Otis would hear it and he'd go, "Ugh."
Yes.
That was it. Like he wouldn't even lift his head. He would just go, "Ugh." Like I heard that.
I love that.
So cute.
Our first dog, Tucker, was like that. Someone would knock and he would, like you said, maybe his eyes would flutter open. He'd do, "Woof." And then that would be it. Francis will bark. And he's very shrill. However, you can win him over.
So it does
over.
Run in the family.
You can win him over if you have chicken.
A
whole rotisserie chicken. I'm just saying, if you're a bad guy and he's barking at you, just go, Do you want some chicken? And he will be your best friend. That guy will sell out anybody for some chicken.
Well, I mean, it's a dog. They'll eat raw chicken, too, like my old roommate.
Ew. Hey, okay, so what about the cat?
So my friend had this cat who was very, very ill. And I think somehow it's gotten better. But she took it to the vet, and she ended up spending...
Are you looking it up?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the exact number, but it is a ridiculous amount of money. What do you think? Like, I'm telling you it's a stupid amount of money that she spent on
$3,000.
This cat. $3,000. Oh, my God, no. $17,000 on the ER.
No.
Yeah, this happened early March. She
for
says,
a cat?
Not that it matters, but I also spent $17,000 on the ER last weekend for this cat. And I said, well, what are you?
No.
What are you doing?
I mean, what did he need? A spine replacement? What cost?
I don't know. It was something. It just all. She explained all kinds of things.
I went
to
the ER. It wasn't $17,000.
$17,000. Because you don't.
That's why
I guess
she
doesn't have animal insurance.
If you're the type of person who will pay that much for your pet, because let's be honest, most people would say it's the end of the road. It's the end of the road for that cat if it would cost $17,000.
Yeah.
Most people would say that. But if you're the type of person who would not say that, then you're the type of person who needs insurance. I think my parents got insurance for Francis because Tucker, our first dog, when he was less than a year old, needed back surgery.
Ugh.
And they had on New Year's Eve, it was so sad, and apparently this happens with Cocker Spaniels, but they can have a back issue. All of a sudden his back legs wouldn't move. This poor Cocker Spaniel, less than a year old. My mom picks him up and we're crying. She takes him to the vet. The vet here said this is a very specialized surgery. You have to go to the vet school at Mizzou and you have 24 hours to schedule the surgery or he's going to die. So they drove on New Year's Eve to Mizzou. Everyone's crying. It's my dad, my mom, and my sister. I stay home to babysit. And the doctor said, okay, here's the surgery. It's a 40% success rate. And this is how much it's going to cost. Is that, you know, too much? And my dad is at the beginning stages of nodding like, yes, that's too much. And he starts to nod and he looks over and my mom and sister are bawling their eyes out. And he goes, of course not. Of course not. The good news is the incredible veterinarian school at Mizzou, one of the best in the country, saved his little life. He lived a long, happy life running around for 14 and a half years.
Wow, that's nice.
But my dad did say no second surgery.
Yeah, that's your one shot, kid.
So then when my mom had surgery, we told her no second surgery.
Randy,
you know the rule, Mom. No second surgery.
My guy Randy Carricker used to tell the story about when he had his heart surgery.
Yeah,
and his. Have you heard this one?
You got to tell it.
Oh, and his wife. They're having the conversation, and it was either between a stint and or like the triple bypass or whatever it was, and the doctor said, "Well, here's a 10-year fix or a 50-year fix," and his wife's like. 50-year fix, like
that seems a little much.
It's very funny.
That's really funny.
Hey, we have a message, a texter, who says my daughter just had to pay $10,000 for a surgery on her dog because it ate a rubber ball.
Oh,
the surgery was successful; it saved the dog's life. 10 G's.
That's a lot. That's what I mean. That's why I think that's what scares me the most is. All it takes is a sock. And oh my gosh, dogs love underpants and socks.
Yeah, they like anything they can chew up and swallow.
Have you ever swallowed a sock? Not easy. Like a sock, it could be a tube sock.
Well, I don't have the kind of teeth that would successfully pull apart underwear.
No, Francis somehow swallowed a pair of underwear and a sock like in one gulp. He saw us coming. He saw us coming, and he's like, I gotta do this before they reach me. We're like, no, Francis, no. And you could see it in his face. He made direct eye contact with us. Underwear, sock, gone in his belly.
I almost feel like whatever happens to the dog after that, it deserves it. Yeah.
That is not true. Dogs are perfect. Dogs are.
Well, I love dogs. They're not perfect. And some of them are worse than others. Hey, this is the equivalent, what I'm about to read. Oh. This is the equivalent of dropping a grenade and leaving the room, because I know it's going to make some people upset. Uh-oh. Texter says, you want to talk about entitlement on the road? Let's talk about bicyclists.
Oh, buddy.
They will run every single stop sign they come to and then look at you like you're the problem, mm-hmm. even though they're supposed to follow the same rules of the road as cars. Bicyclists are the worst.
They're, okay, they clickety-clack.
That's not me.
They clickety-clack everywhere. Have you ever been at Caldi's when the cyclists show up and they, for about 10 to 15 minutes, they unstrap, unhook, un-Velcro, and then they have their little shoes on and they go clickety-clackety, clickety-clackety all through the coffee shop.
Okay, that's the least of my problems
no,
with the bicyclists.
It's the biggest. They love
this is
the
such
attention.
A niche problem. But bicyclists on the road pretending like the laws don't apply to them,
no,
much bigger deal.
That's a much bigger deal. But I'm telling you, cyclists love the attention. And it's a status symbol. If you can unhook, untether, unstrap the most, you're somehow the king cyclist.
A texter who was referring to the dog, the other texter whose dog had eaten the rubber ball.
Yeah.
This one says, I bet that dog had a lot of bounce in its step. Another message. $17,000 to fix a cat? My parents would have had me put down for that kind of money. I would not pay $17,000, especially for a cat.
Listen, if it's a cat's time to go, sometimes you just got to accept the lot in life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. $17,000 for a cat? Oh.
No chance.
Not. I mean, is she kind of psycho?
No, she just has it, so
she
it doesn't
has
matter.
To be kind of psycho.
She doesn't. It's nothing.
$17,000 is so much money, Ron.
I know.
I guess I won't get a car.
Yep.
I guess I'll save this little cat.
She could probably do both. I think that's her problem.
Oh.
Doesn't know what to do with it. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji. Anything you missed will be on the Odyssey app. Download it and listen to the show later. We're going to come back on Monday, though. 9 o'clock, the Tournament of Negligence will happen. I'm so excited. Coming up next, though, it's the Gas House Gang. It is Mike Claiborne, Matt Pauly, and me. We're going to talk some Redbirds next for an hour on KMOX.